Chapter 8. Halfway Around the World. The Carnatic, setting sail from Hong Kong on November 7th, was heading at full steam toward Japan. She carried a large shipment and a well-filled cabin of passengers. Two rooms, however, were unoccupied, those which had been booked by Phileas Fogg. The next day, a passenger with messy hair and a staggering walk came out from the second cabin. It was Passepartout. What happened to Passepartout was as follows. 3 hours after Fix left, he awoke and struggled against the heavy effects of the opium. Passepartout hurried from the bar, staggering and trying to keep himself up. All the while, he kept crying out, "The Carnatic! The Carnatic!" The Carnatic lay puffing alongside the quay, on the point of departing. Passepartout, rushing up to the steamship, passed over the bridge onto it and fell unconscious on the deck. Several sailors carried the poor Frenchman down into the second cabin. The next morning on the deck of the ship, he began to collect his senses. At last, he remembered the events of the evening before. Passepartout then thought about what he might do about Fix, but the first thing was to find Mr. Fogg and apologize for his odd behavior. After a bit of searching, Passepartout decided to ask the ship's officer the number of his master's room. The officer replied that there was no one by the name of Phileas Fogg on board. Passepartout sat down quietly and thought for a moment. Now he remembered that the time of sailing had been changed and that he should have informed Mr. Fogg of that fact, but he had not done so. It was his fault that his master and Aouda had missed the steamship. Yes, but it was still more the fault of Fix, who had cleverly kept him in Hong Kong by getting him drunk. On the morning of November 13th, the Carnatic entered the port of Yokohama. Passepartout went on shore, and since he had nothing better to do, he wandered around through the streets of the port city. He walked around all day and night until the sun rose the next morning. After he had eaten breakfast, it occurred to Passepartout to visit the steamships which were about to leave for America. He could not believe his eyes or his luck when he spotted Mr. Fogg and Aouda near the harbor.
"Ah, my master! My master!" cried Passepartout.
"You're here?" asked Mr. Fogg with a surprised look.
"I am," replied his servant, relieved.
"Very well, then let's go to the steamship," said Mr. Fogg as he turned toward where the ship was docked. At 6:30, Mr. Fogg and Aouda, followed by Passepartout, stepped upon the American steamship bound for San Francisco. Before this accidental encounter, what happened when the Tankadere came in sight of Shanghai can be easily guessed. The signals made by the boat had been seen by the captain of the Yokohama steamship, who directed his course toward the little vessel. Phileas Fogg then paid John Bunsby for the price of his passage and got on the steamship with Aouda and Fix. They started at once for Yokohama. They reached their destination on the morning of November 14th. Phileas Fogg lost no time in going on board the Carnatic, where he learned that Passepartout had arrived in Japan on the ship the day before. The San Francisco steamship was announced to leave that very evening, and it became necessary to find Passepartout as soon as possible. Mr. Fogg wandered the streets for a long time and began to worry that he would never find his servant. Feeling out of luck, he went back to the harbor only to spot Passepartout. Once on the steamship, Passepartout learned from Aouda what had happened to them on the voyage from Hong Kong to Shanghai in the company of Mr. Fix. Passepartout did not show any emotions when he heard Fix's name. He thought that the time had not yet come to tell his master what had taken place between the detective and himself. Instead, in order to explain his absence, he simply told Mr. Fogg that he had been overtaken by alcohol and opium at a bar in Hong Kong. His master was not impressed in the least. The steamship, which was about to depart from Yokohama to San Francisco, was named the General Grant. Mr. Fogg hoped that he would reach San Francisco by December 2nd, New York by the 11th, and London on the 20th, therefore gaining several hours on the all-important date of December 21st. On the ninth day after leaving Yokohama, Phileas Fogg had traveled exactly one half of the world. He had used up 52 of the 80 days in which he was to complete the tour. There were only 28 left. Now the course of the journey was simple enough, and Fix was no longer there to put obstacles in their way. But where was Fix at that moment? He was actually on board the General Grant. Once they arrived in Yokohama with Mr. Fogg and Aouda, Fix had left them and gone straight to the English consulate. There he found the warrant of arrest. Unfortunately, the warrant was now useless because Mr. Fogg had left English ground. However, although his warrant was not valid in Japan, it still was in England. So Fix decided to keep following Mr. Fogg. Fix had hoped to avoid Passepartout on the American steamship, but he came face to face with him on deck one day. Despite his anger, Passepartout agreed to talk with the detective.
"Please listen to me," said Fix. "Until now, I've been Mr. Fogg's enemy. I am now on his side. Mr. Fogg seems to be going back to England. Well, I will follow him there. I will try to keep obstacles out of his way because it is in my interest now to help him get back to England so I can make use of this warrant for his arrest. Your interest is the same as mine, for it is only in England that you will find out whether you are in the service of a criminal or an honest man. Are we friends?"
"Friends? No," replied Passepartout. "But we can be allies, perhaps. At the first sign of disloyalty, I'll wring your neck."
"Agreed," said the detective quietly.
11 days later, on December 3rd, the General Grant reached San Francisco. Phileas Fogg had neither gained nor lost a single day.